Hey there, and welcome to Bustin' Out of Breast Cancer, the show that has us straight talking about surviving and thriving breast cancer with health and fitness using the smile method. I'm Shannon Burrows, your host for the show, and also a breast cancer survivor and fitness professional who specializes in cancer exercise. I became the person I couldn't find while navigating my own breast cancer diagnosis. I like to say I found my purpose at the intersection of passion, pain, and proficiency. I now help other women diagnosed with breast cancer by educating, empowering, and inspiring them to become the best version of themselves through support, exercise, and healthy living. On this show, I share my story, other survivor stories, and educate and empower and inspire you to become the best version of yourself after a breast cancer diagnosis and beyond. On today's show, I'm very excited to introduce you to Miss Stephanie Buck. She is a cancer survivor and also a holistic nutritionist. She's going to discuss with us her cancer journey. It's not breast cancer, but it's still a cancer journey. And honestly, at the end of the day, it comes down to supporting one another through their cancer journeys, whether it's breast cancer, colon cancer, thyroid cancer, anything like that. And she has a very amazing and unique story that I can't wait for her to share with you. So welcome, Stephanie. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. I can't wait for you to share all of your wealth of knowledge that you have and have a platform for you to be able to share your story and your education with others. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Shannon, for the invite. This is exciting. This is technically my first podcast. So thank you.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. Got another podcast version. I love it. That's so fun. No, see, fun. You just rip off the band-aid and next thing you know, you're gonna be like, I'm gonna start my own podcast.
Here we go. Yeah.
Here we go. The year of being imperfectly perfect. That's what I've called this year. 2021. Just do whatever. Just do something, right? Just sit back and let it roll. So I would love for you to share with the listeners your cancer journey, how it all came about, and really share all of your expertise and knowledge that you have, because I loved our conversation and that's why I thought you would be an amazing guest. So please introduce yourself, share your journey, whatever you feel comfortable with, and just make sure that we can educate our listeners and get your story out.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, my journey started about 5 years ago. I was working in the missile defense and unmanned radar world. So I was working for a defense contractor. Met my husband. He works in the satellites and worked with NASA at one point. And we became pregnant. And I was like, oh, yay, this is easy. You know, I could still travel 2 times a month and get out there and eat out of vending machines. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm invincible.
And that's adorable.
Yeah, come to find out that's not the truth. So unfortunately, around the 28th week of gestation, my son was still. And so we went along and went to the radiologist and they told us, oh yes, you know, you do have a demise. And we went forward and, you know, I had him and we basically thought, I was like, okay, well, what was that all about? You know, what happened to my son? So we, I took a little bit of time off of work and decided to look into healing myself. Well, after I was doing that, I changed the way that I ate. I changed my lifestyle. I looked into getting a degree in holistic nutrition. And so I went to Hawthorne University and got my master's of science in holistic nutrition. In the time that I was studying, I also became pregnant again. And I went through most of my pregnancy with no troubles. And then in my third trimester, I couldn't breathe. And I was like, okay, what is going on? And I was like, oh, this is just pregnancy. This is just, you know, he's pushing all of my lungs and all of the organs up into my throat. And so I'm just not able to breathe. And then I kept going forward and I had him and it was a very beautiful birth and it was so quick. And I have to say, like, you know, sometimes you're given something horrible and you're gifted with something beautiful. And that's, my birth was like 15 minutes. So I have to,
that's awesome.
It was awesome. And, but after giving birth to him, I was still out of breath going up and down the stairs. And so finally, after I started snoring and my husband was like, okay, this is enough. Something is going on. You need to go and get it checked. So we went to an ENT and he scoped me and he found that I had a tumor in my trachea and it was blocking 75% of my airway. And I was like, okay, you know, I have this baby. What am I going to do? You know, right. I still am breastfeeding and all of this. And suddenly the C word, you know, jumps into my life and I need to figure out how to handle this. And so we went, and thankfully, I guess thankfully, but it's not really thankfully, but the type of cancer that I have, which is called adenoid cystic carcinoma, is only affected by a resection, so taking it out, but also with radiation. So it is, studies have shown that it has not been affected as of yet with chemotherapy. They did ask me if I wanted to do it as a default.
No, thanks.
Well, it's, thank you. You know, studies show I don't need it, then, you know, I'm going to pass.
Thanks for asking. Thank you.
And so we went forward, and I had all the radiation, and so far, let's see, that was in 2017. So this year, as in August, will be 4 years after all of my treatments have been finalized. So since then, I've still been focusing on not only helping myself kind of heal from the whole process, but I've also been helping other women heal from, you know, pregnancies and stillbirth, and trying to achieve their rainbow babies, as well as if they have gone through cancer, helping them through their treatments and alleviating some of their symptoms through nutritional help and therapy. So that's my lovely story on how I became where I am and where I am now. So I appreciate
it. See, I told you had an amazing story. Like, who starts off in missile defense and then ends up a holistic nutritionist, right? I mean, it's just amazing. And it is, it's, I love where life takes us, like where our life journey goes, and you hit it right on the nail on the head. Like, sometimes we are given unfortunate situations in order for us to find, you know, our correct path. And I am sorry about the loss of your son. So I know that's extremely hard. I myself lost my daughter's twin, so it is difficult. Mm-hmm. I did not have a stillbirth, but yes, I know it's very, very heartbreaking, but you know, you have the same mentality that I do. You know, sometimes everything happens for a reason. You don't know what that reason is. I know a lot of people don't like that saying, but whether you say it that way or whether you say, you know, the universe has other things planned for us, like whatever your thoughts and beliefs are your thoughts and beliefs. But I think we just had a great connection with that. And that's why I thought it was really important that you share your story, because once again, we as women have a tendency, most of the time, most of us women have a tendency to just know our body. And that's why I'm such a huge advocate of making sure that you are in touch with your body. You have that mind-body connection. You know when something's wrong, when something's off, and you know, you just have to jump in and take care of it. So kudos to you for finally just being like, yep, something's not right. I actually can't breathe. There's a problem. Houston, we have a problem. And it's, you know, having the type of cancer that you have, it's like, okay, first you're like, I can't breathe. And then you're like, okay, well, you're not expecting to hear the C word. And then you hear the C word and they're like, okay, so we're going to serve you with a dish of cancer, with a side of radiation. Would you like me to top that with chemo? No, I'm good. Thank you.
And oh, by the way, do you still want to keep breastfeeding? Do you still want to take care of your child? So yes.
Right. All of those things.
Journey. Right.
Yeah. All of those things. So I want you to basically try to share, God, so many things I want you to share. Number one, what it's like being a mom going through and surviving and thriving cancer. Number one. Number two, what it was like making that transition from being in missile defense to now being a holistic nutritionist. But also, and at the end, after you explain all that, I really want you to share your actual career now and how you got there, because I think that's just so magical. And I love that you say the rainbow baby experience. I think that's just so sweet and just puts like such a happy spin on a pregnancy. And just like, I love it. I love your story. So let's talk about what the difference is about being from missile defense to a holistic nutritionist.
Yes, it is a very big difference.
Right.
So, you know, in the missile defense arena, you know, we were the world that I was in was in the command center portion, and I was in marketing and developing business development. And it was a lot of like trade shows and traveling around and talking to different people and being part of NATO discussions, which was amazing, you know. But it was from a women's perspective, I was probably one of 100. Every time there was a room, I was one woman per like 100 men. And so it was this constant stress of just, okay, you have to prove yourself and you have to constantly prove mm-hmm. yourself. So there was that. And I know that was a bit of a stressor in my life. However, when I left the missile defense arena and I started working with other women and into this field of holistic nutrition and just wellness, the thing that I had to let go of was that constant competition, right? Because I was like, oh no, this is me. They're all willing. These women are willing to empower each other, and they're willing to step up and like help one another out. And they were just, a lot of my mentors were so gracious in like allowing me into their lives and their knowledge, you know, where it was in the missile defense arena. I mean, there's so many, I mean, the scientists there are amazing. And just like, because it is rocket science, right? And learning from them was always just amazing on a daily basis. But they were, if it wasn't made here kind of mentality, and if you weren't born like in the scientific field that we were in, it was almost like there was always a wall up, you know. But I loved the people that we worked with, and I loved all of the camaraderie that we had in the missile defense arena. And it's such a small arena of people that we would literally see the same people all over the world and over again at the same conferences. So in that regard, I do miss that.
I know, but would you actually really be traveling right now with COVID?
No, and that's for the past year. My husband's still in the business. He's in works with the satellite in missile defense and others. But he, for the past year, he's only traveled, I think, once, and that was locally. And then next week, I think, or in 2 weeks, is the first time he's actually going to travel possibly internationally for a year. So that's been nice, you know, having him home.
Sure.
Part of the family. So the whole family life.
Everything happens for a reason, right?
Right. I do have to say and give a little shout out to my mother, because she and I, before she retired, she actually worked with me. And so she was my admin. Aww. And we would travel together. And so it was beautiful in that regard that we did have like the family.
I love that.
My family is deeply, deeply bred into the defense world. My dad worked for what was TRW, and they went into Northrop Grumman. So it was like, I was bred to be into the defense mm-hmm. industry, but just because you're bred into it doesn't mean that's where you belong.
And I'm so proud that you said that, because it's so important for women to know, to be empowered, that they can make their own decisions and they should follow their heart and their dreams and their passion. So thank you for saying that. So with all that stress and all that traveling, what was your nutrition like?
Oh my goodness. It was horrible. You know,
define horrible for some people.
Okay. So for me, it was a vanilla latte every single morning with full sugar. And it was possibly a McDonald's like drive-by egg, bacon and cheese sandwich, right? That was a good day.
That was a good day. You're like, and I'll just stop at that and sip my green tea.
Yeah. And you know, traveling, and when you're constantly meeting clients and you're constantly traveling in every culture, there was a big drinking culture, right? And so there would at least be like a glass or two of wine or more every night. And, you know, I know now, having learned from my own genetics and just being Asian, you know, it's just alcohol does not work well with me. So I imagine that definitely led to some of the inflammation that was in my body for sure.
Yeah, well, there's certainly several studies that show that, you know, alcohol is a contributing factor to especially breast cancer. And that's unfortunate, because, you know, there's always that balance, right? Having drinks with friends is a very social thing, or, you know, drinks with dinner, or, you know, gatherings, whatever. It's a very social thing. So not many people think about that. Like, oh my gosh, this could be causing cancer, until you get a cancer diagnosis and you're like, oh, let me assess my situation right now. So this month happens to be National Nutrition Month, and you being a holistic nutritionist, I would love for you to share your journey of going through school to become a holistic nutritionist, and your findings about your own health and your nutrition going through your studies, and what your life is like now with nutrition.
Absolutely. So through the nice thing about Hawthorne University, it's a pretty well-known nutrition school. It's all online. However, they do have a facility over in California. But the nice thing about it is that I was actually able to get my master's of science all online, and which is very helpful, especially when raising a baby. And I do have a 14-year-old. He was 10 at the time. So there was still that whole, you have to be a mother and
the whole balancing act of a woman, right?
Right. And study and take care of your health. But one of the early things that I found when I was going through schooling, I dove right pretty quickly into the cancer sections, even though like maybe the courses weren't later on. I was like, okay, but I need to know exactly now how can I, heal myself and how can I help myself through these symptoms. So one of the things that I found out pretty early on was this therapy that helps with the radiation symptoms as well as chemotherapy symptoms. And that is called mistletoe. And it's a mistletoe therapy. And you can have it intravenously, or you can have it like a shot that you would give yourself on a regular basis. And that's what I did. So I went and I found a functional nutritionist. It's basically like a functional homeopathic doctor that was here at GW Integrative Medicine. And after speaking to them about it, because some of the studies were pretty new. In fact, one of the studies was ongoing at the time that I was at John Hopkins for my radiation, and they asked me to be a part of it, which was kind of neat, to know that some of my actual data is in there, and it helped further the research of mistletoe therapy. Did you have any questions on mistletoe therapy?
I remember when we were first talking about it and you said, have you heard of mistletoe therapy, or, did you use that through your journey? And I had not. So that's why I thought it was really fascinating. So if you could share a little bit more about mistletoe therapy, what it is, who is a candidate for it? Is everyone a candidate for it? And how does one go about asking for it to their medical team?
Absolutely. So, mistletoe is plant-based, but it's mostly made in, I think there's a couple places where you can find it, but mostly in Germany is where they sourced the ones that I had used. But any integrative functional doctor that focuses on cancer therapy will be able to provide the dosage and the appropriate amount and type. So there are multiple types of mistletoe. I think off the bat, it's like A, P, and M are the different types. And depending on your lab work, depending on the type of genetics that you may have and the type of cancer that you may have, it may vary the type of mistletoe that you have. They gave me the same type that would be for breast cancer, just because my cancer is so rare, mm-hmm. that there haven't been any studies on it. And I think it's, with adenoid cystic carcinoma and the fact that I was pregnant, she was like, likely it's very similar that it's hormonal, right? That it was something that the cancer was basically stimulated by an uptick of hormones, and it just kind of exacerbated the issue that you had. So I was able to take it. And it's actually been going on in Europe for a long time. I mean, if you go, and it's free in Europe. So if you're in Europe, you can get mistletoe therapy.
Just
hop a flight and just get it for free.
It's like great. A medical bill, right? Can you write that flight off?
Exactly. You should be able to, but just like anything with regards to alternative therapies, the FDA has not approved it yet. And so there are very specific people that are able to give it, and and you have to pay for it, right? So
I just want to have a disclaimer here real quick. Neither one of us are doctors.
Correct.
You are just sharing your journey, and you're sharing therapies that you are aware of as a holistic nutritionist and what things have worked for you, and just bringing education and awareness to the listeners. Okay. Just want to make sure I put that out there.
Yeah.
You're not prescribing this for all cancers. Okay.
No.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, the good thing about mistletoe is that it does, like, it contains the two essential proteins that are helpful in eliminating cancer cells and helping new growth of the good cells, right? So that was a big reason why it was helpful for me through radiation. And my radiology oncologist kept on asking me, you know, like, what are you doing that, because it's healing really quickly after each of the sessions. And I told him about mistletoe. He's like, oh, okay, yeah. And then, so he was like, okay, this is good. So I'm just going to keep tabs on you and make sure, you know, it all goes well. So I always get that, like, it looks really good. So I'm just like, okay, well, that's
good. Yeah. We like to hear that.
Mm-hmm. So mistletoe pretty much boosts the immune system and kills the cells and lectins, which can bind to cancer cells.
Yes.
Cause biochemical changes, as we all know, what the lovely cancer can do.
Yes. But that, okay. So I'm going to pivot real quick. Mm-hmm. First, let me ask you one more question on mistletoe. Is it only used to help with radiation, or is it used for any other health ailments?
It's technically good for what has been studied anyway, are just all different types of cancers. So colon, pancreas, pancreatic, you know, breast cancer. I have not seen, however, I imagine it also helps boost immunity, but I have not actually read any of the studies that show what other things it's been applied to.
Yeah. So after we first spoke and you mentioned that, after that, it's like, I kept hearing it in like different clubhouse rooms or like in different conversations. I was like, oh my gosh. It's like, you know, when you're looking for a new car and you're like, oh, this is the car I'm going to get. And then everywhere you turn, like everyone has the same car. It's like, okay, mistletoe therapy, Shannon, you should probably, you know, learn a little bit more about this. So, and if I need, you know, if I want to learn about it, I definitely want to be able to share that with the listeners. So I appreciate that. I love that you just talked about mistletoe, because I always think of mistletoe as like the little thing that hangs above your door and you give each other a kiss at Christmas time. Like, that's what I think of mistletoe. And excuse me, you know, it's very similar to, you know, when you and I spoke for the first time and I said, oh, mistletoe, I never heard of that. And then afterwards, it's like, every time I turned around into a cancer room in a clubhouse or a conversation, someone had mentioned mistletoe. And I'm like, I should really look into this. I'm like, this is a fantastic topic. So it's like getting a new car, right? You get a brand new car and it's everywhere you turn around on the road, it's everyone has the same car and you're like, what? So what other therapies were given to you, or did you research and you use to help you through your cancer journey that you can share?
Sure. And this one is actually good for all immunity boosting. And it's pretty much wild mushrooms. So I'm big on finding mushrooms, not only in your foods, but also doing extracts and or even mushroom tea. And mushrooms are known to complement chemotherapy as well as in radiation therapy, because it actually counteracts the side effects of cancer. So it's like the side effects being like nausea, bone suppression. Let's see what other ones, like anemia and lowered resistance. So for me, I went to, like, we have a mom's organic market. And so I would just go and get the reishi and lion's mane extract. And you could just put that in your teeth, which is really good. And that would boost all of my immunity. And I would actually use that throughout when anybody was sick in the house, because even after you've gone through radiation and of course chemotherapy, your whole immunity is just shot. And so any way to increase your immunity and your way to heal, mushrooms is like the way to go. And I love cooking it up with just like a little bit of butter and grass-fed butter. Mm-hmm. I could eat mushrooms all day long. And now I got my kids involved with it, so that's always nice. My older one, he's still anti-mushrooms, but the younger one, I think I can still mold a little bit.
Fun fact, I never even liked mushrooms until probably 2 or 3 years ago. And I only like them when they're sauteed with grass-fed butter and onions on top of a steak. And my daughter will eat it that way. And so now I'm just starting to get into like being okay with mushrooms. I definitely raw. It's like eating dirt. But when they're in stuff like soups or things like that, I'm okay with it, or in dishes and things like that. So it's amazing what just our foods can do just to heal our bodies. And I wish so many more people would go down the avenue of just being resourceful and in talking to someone like yourself, a holistic nutritionist or integrative medicine, and try to heal your body on your own, whether it's cancer or whether it's just any other, you know, immune disorders or, you know, chronic illnesses. I think it's so important that you educate yourself and being able to take care of yourself through food, exercise, sleep, and things like that. So let's talk about, is there anything else that you want to talk about therapy wise that helped you through your cancer journey that might help some other listeners?
I had to think of, obviously getting help, right? So, you know, having support and just the mindfulness of healing was definitely very helpful. From a nutrition perspective, I found that I was all about my Vitamix, right? So every morning, you know, stuffing it full of all the antioxidants you can possibly find, you know, like blueberries and spinach and acai, which, you know, if you can find that, but really any kind of berry is good for you. But every morning, just making sure that I would actually have some sort of green smoothie. And then in the evening, something warm, a good, like all of the spices, even from like the Ayurvedic. So like melding the two different philosophies of Eastern and Western medicine, pulling from the Eastern medicine of Ayurvedic therapies is where you pull in like spices like cinnamon and turmeric. And those are all healing spices that are good to take right before bed and that kind of alleviate and help you heal overnight. So
do you have a good turmeric tea recipe?
I do. And I can send it to you. It's basically turmeric, but the thing about that you need to know about turmeric is that it needs black pepper in order to be absorbed properly. And so good. Most people don't think, oh, I'm going to put black pepper in my tea, but it's really helpful to help the absorption. It's like calcium and vitamin D, like they can't absorb without the other. And so if you're lacking either calcium or vitamin D, then you're pretty much going to lack in both.
All right. Those are amazing tips. I learned something. I didn't know you were supposed to have black pepper with the turmeric. So I can't wait to see your little recipe. Hopefully you'll be able to share that with our listeners. Maybe you have a blog post or something you can just share, or maybe you'll have it on your Instagram account, but I know everyone can find everything on your website, but we'll get to that at the end. We'll put everything in the show notes. So last question I kind of wanted to ask you, and then I want to tie into everything that you do I want to be able to share with the listeners currently from the missile world to now what you do now. So let's talk about what it was like going through your cancer journey, being a mom. I mean, you had a little baby.
It was an absolute brain fog. So the good thing about having a baby is that I did have somebody that I knew I had to care for, and I knew I had to live for, and I knew I had to fight for. And so every day, you know, he would come in and be brought in, because I couldn't in the first, especially after the first few months, you know, when you have a tracheal resection, you pretty much aren't able to lift beyond like a gallon of milk. So even carrying him was a little hard. And so I had to have people come in and help me with just bringing him to my breast and breastfeeding. But having him next to me all the time was so healing. And so if I didn't have him, I feel like I would have been in absolute postpartum and just depression in general. Even without a baby, I would have been in absolute depression. So there was that. But every little thing that it was able to let me look forward and know that I wanted to be there to see him, to graduate high school, to see my grandbabies, to do all of that. And so it strengthened my own healing journey, I believe.
It's amazing what kids, even babies, like, you know, mine was not a baby anymore. She was older, but still not really old enough to understand. But it's amazing how kids actually help us and they don't even realize that they're helping us. It makes us put on our quote unquote big girl panties and say, okay, it's time to do whatever it takes, right? Do whatever it takes, because you have people to live for, not only yourself, but you have your kids, your family, and they make you want to strive and thrive and just really push forward and make you do amazing things. And I love that we can always look back as survivors and look back and be like, I freaking did that.
Yeah.
I rock that. Okay. What else you got, world? I got this. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
So you earlier you talked about rainbow births, and I think that what you just said now about, you know, even just having your baby next to you, you know, being able to breastfeed just really brought a new light to your life and really helped you survive and thrive. So now, how did you get to where you are currently? And I want you to share your exact title, and I want you to share how you got to where you are, because this dials it right back to how things happen for a reason and they put you on the path to where you are now. So share with our listeners, not only are you a holistic nutritionist, but drum roll, please.
I am also a birth doula and postpartum doula. Yes. And so I love seeing all these new babies and helping these mothers bring their babies into the world. And that is one of my major passions, is empowering other women to give birth in the way that they want to, as well as giving birth healthily and with thriving pregnancies. These days, there are more and more cases of preeclampsia and hypertension. And my role as a holistic nutritionist, when I'm also their birth doula, is I try to meld the two and just trying to give them some tips on how to strengthen their pregnancies. Because after what I went through with losing, his name is Oliver, I cannot fathom anybody else ever going through that. And so one of my main goals and the legacy that I try to live for with Oliver's legacy is to try to help other women empower themselves and heal their own bodies, not even after a loss, but in general, to strengthen their pregnancies. And so, yeah, I get to help through the whole cycle of, you know, once they become pregnant and strengthening their pregnancies, and then I get to see their babies born. And then if I'm even lucky and they still aren't sick of me, then I get to help them with their postpartum journey and healing their bodies after that trauma. Because even as you know, having a baby is a lot of trauma to the body within such a short amount of time.
Absolutely. But I think the fascinating story as to who inspired you, do you mind sharing who inspired you?
Yes, I
love this story.
Okay. Yeah. So when I was pregnant with Oliver and we found out that he had passed away, I still had to give birth to him and I had to be induced at the hospital. And at first, the birth care center that I was going to go through sent me a note and they said, you know what, we're going to send you a doula. And I was like, well, this is a pretty, you know, medical process. You know, I'm going to go in, I'm going to be induced and that's it. And they're like, well, maybe you might just want somebody to come and be with you. And I said, okay. You know, have they been through a stillbirth before? And they said, yes. And I said, okay, that alleviated some of my worries of having a stranger that I'd never really met in a room with me and my husband. And I will say, and I'll do a shout out to her because her name is Martha. She was amazing, but she was there and she held space for us. I mean, she didn't really talk much about like what I was going to expect to happen, but it was more of just like being a friend and bouncing off like stories the whole time and through the induction. And when it actually came to, because of the fact that it was an induction and they knew the ending and I wasn't going to have a live baby, they actually gave me a sleeping pill, which was interesting. And so I gave birth in my sleep.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a very weird experience because I was having these weird, like roller coaster rolling dreams.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. And then when it ended, I woke up and then I reached out and I felt him there and I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, you guys. And they woke up and came over and they're like, okay. And they cleaned him up and, you know, we said our prayers with him and we said, you know, said the prayer, now I lay you down to sleep. And we said our goodbyes. And having her there just really, you know, she knew how to help me say goodbye, right? And she was almost not only a birth doula, but she was also a grief doula. And then so when I was pregnant, I'm like 3 or 4 months later, you know, when I found out that I was pregnant again, I was like, she's got to be there. She's got to be there for, and she deserves a birth, a live birth. She deserves to help me welcome another one into the world. And she was there and she was very helpful. And because of that, I was like, I want to be able to hold space like that for other women. And so I looked into becoming a birth doula and got certified through DONA, which is a pretty big international birth doula association, and have been helping other mothers have babies now.
I love that. I love that story. Yeah. I'm so, thank you so much for sharing that, because it, you know, it takes a lot to be able to share that. I'm sure it's hard to relive that over and over, but at the same time, like you said, you're living on a legacy for Oliver. And I think that's phenomenal. And I just love the story about how your situation with Oliver actually transitioned you into the career that you have now to be able to help other women with that. And so that's so powerful. And I love that you still have your relationship with Martha, and she actually inspired you to, you know, do what you're doing now. So that's fantastic. So if anybody would like to reach you in regards to being a doula in your area, where are you located again?
I'm located in the Washington, D.C. area, but I also do virtual doula, because the lovely,
awesome,
one of the lovely silver linings about COVID is that we had to pivot and figure out how to do it virtually.
Sure.
And so if anyone needs help, I can help them virtually. I can be found on floraandsprouts.com. So flora meaning gut flora. So it's all about the gut, and sprouts, of course, the baby.
Yes. I love that. It's so cute. So I'll put your website into the show notes, and you can share with them on your website or via communication, your turmeric recipe. Yeah, and I can't wait for you to send that to me. And yes. So please reach out to Stephanie at florasprouts.com and reach out to her for gut health issues, for pregnancy health, for doula. And honestly, if you just want to give her a shout out and say, thank you so much for sharing your amazing story, because it is an amazing story. And I'm so glad that I could be your first podcast.
Yay,
and
thank you. Be
able to share that information with other amazing women. Are there any other last minute tips that you'd like to share with the listeners in regards to cancer, nutrition?
I would just say that you are your number one advocate always.
And amen.
So if something doesn't feel right, you need another opinion.
Yeah, you got that right.
And I am all for therapies and Western medicine, but it's always good to supplement with Eastern medicine if you can.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Stephanie. Thank you for being vulnerable, sharing your story, but also empowering other women and inspiring them to be their own advocate and have the most amazing birthing experience on top of that, but also sharing the mistletoe and the mushrooms. I think that's fabulous. So hopefully our listeners learned a little bit about that and can look into it a little bit more. Again, remember, you're your own advocate. We are not doctors. We're just simply giving advice and sharing experiences that we've gone through. So always reach out to your doctor or look into an integrative doctor as well. And if you have any more questions on that, I'm sure Stephanie will be happy to reach out to you. You can reach her at her website. Again, I will put that into the show notes. And it has been such a pleasure, Stephanie. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope this week's episode has somehow changed your life with a smile and has empowered or inspired you in some way. If you are looking for guidance through your breast cancer journey or know someone that could use some help, head over to shannonbrose.com to join our private Facebook group, download any of my free resources, sign up for my newsletter, and just to simply connect. I have some spots available for a free meet and greet, so I'd love to chat with you. If you like this podcast, go ahead and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Leave a review to help other breast cancer survivors know this is the place to be. And last but not least, don't forget to share this with your friends, because sharing is caring. Until next week, live well, laugh often, and love much.